It's time for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Len Levinson and directed by Max Hutto. Here are Fibber and Molly talking about something you might be interested in.
Would you light a match to a pile of money, Molly?
Heavenly days, McGee. Where'd you get an idea like that?
Just came to me. Dramatizing a point, they call it. You know, trying to make people sit up and take notice by shocking them a little.
Well, I'm properly shocked, dearie. Now, what's it all about?
It's about the thousands of dollars that are lost each year because a lot of people don't know the few simple facts about their own Social Security. For example, a lot of young married folks don't realize that Social Security benefits can give them a good start toward a family protection program.
I guess what McGee has been leading up to is some plain talk on the new Social Security law. Plain Talk is the name of Prudential's 30-page booklet that answers all your questions about Social Security benefits.
Like how much will I get at 65? Do I get credit for the time I spent in service? Can my family and I lose our benefits?
And what's more, all these important questions are illustrated with some of the cutest baby pictures you've ever seen outside of your own family.
You want a copy? It's yours for the asking. Just drop a card with your name and address on it to Fibber, McGee, and Molly, Box 1212, Newark, New Jersey.
Portrait of a man talking to himself. Well, if not a portrait, at least a speaking likeness.
Can't figure how I spent so much money. 2 gallons of gasoline, 54 cents. Weighed myself, penny. Them hamburgers Saturday at Walt's Malt. Collection box at church yesterday. That was only...
What are you muttering about, McGee? Set your nose afire again, trying to light your cigar without taking your eyes off the sport page?
Nope, I'm trying to count for the money I spent over the weekend. I can't for the life of me figure what's become of $5.
Well, we didn't spend it nightclubbing, that's for sure. Last nightclub we were in, the Prohibition agents closed it up, remember?
$5. Actually, it's hardly worth worrying about, of course. $5 don't mean much these days.
No more than a gallon of blood.
No, I mean you can't buy a heck of a lot with it anymore. I was saying to Doc Gamble just the other day, I says, Doc, sure.
Is that all you said to him, Doc, sure?
No, I was just remembering where my $5 went. I gave it to Doc Gamble Saturday.
You what?
Yeah, I was in Doc's office when the old-timer brought him a package and Doc didn't have any dough on him.
Dr. Gamble, with his waiting room stuffed with $5 visitors, didn't have any money?
Well, this was lunchtime, see, and Miss Ogilvy had the cash box locked up. So Doc asked me to let him have $5 to pay for whatever it was, and I did it.
Oh, well, this is one for Ripley. You lending him money.
Yes, and I'm going to trot right down there and give that pudgy little pill prescriber a prod for not paying his debts.
Oh, don't press. Let it ride a while.
Huh?
It's such a new experience having the doctor owe us for a change. I'd sort of like to just live with it a while.
Well, not me. I can use that, Finn, baby. Hand me the phone, will you? I'll see if he's in his office.
Here.
Thanks. I hope he's there because... Hello, operator. Give me Doc Gamble's office. That you, Mert?
Oh, dear.
How's every little thing, Mert? Tis, eh? What say, Mert? A whole crowd of you. Went on a picnic out to Dugan's Lake.
In this weather?
They did what? Went through the ice, huh?
Good heavens, anybody drowned?
No, it was too mushy for skating, so they had the party back at Mert's house, you see. Says they went through the ice in 20 minutes, but the ginger ale held out all evening.
Oh.
What say, Mert? Line's busy, huh? Okay, I'll go down there. I want to get that $5 back, by George, because...
Hold it. Come in.
Oh, hi, Les. Come in, boy.
Hello, Mr. McGee. Ms. McGee.
Hello, Lester. Sit down.
Well, thanks. I can't stay, Ms. McGee. No, I just wondered if I could bring you anything from downtown.
Oh, well, thanks, Lester, but I can't think of a thing. You going down, are you?
Yeah. I've got to meet Sally down there at the Bonton and do some shopping. She wants to buy some little things.
Little things, Lester?
Yeah, just some things we need, you know. Sally and I were sort of expecting...
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah, congratulations, Lester. Gee, that's great.
Well, thank you. Like I say, we're sort of expecting her mother to come visit us, and Sally wants to kind of fix up the house.
Oh, her mother. We thought to...
Yeah, we didn't know you were expecting her mother. We thought you were expecting...
Her father.
Yeah, sure. Thought you were expecting her father. How you get along with your in-laws, Les? Okay,
Oh, just fine, Mr. McGee. Sally's mother, well, she's a wonderful woman. We're both very fond of her.
How about her dad?
Oh, he's fond of her, too.
Oh.
I sang to Sally at the party last night.
Oh,
I said...
Oh, how was the party? Sally told me you were going.
Well, Sally had fun. Of course, she likes to dance.
Oh, all girls do, even us older girls.
Me, I'm not much of a dancer, though. I'm not much good on a dance floor. I got a sort of a physical defect.
You, a physical defect? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Dr. Gamble, he diagnosed it for me. Advanced awkwardness, he calls it. I tell you, when I get out on a dance floor, there seems like I can't get my feet to see eye to eye.
Lester, I know a fellow who has the same trouble.
Now, look, all this chit-chat is very educational, kids, but I got business downtown. So if you're driving downtown, Les, you can drop me off at Doc Gamble's office.
Well, sure. Come along.
I'm going to perform a $5 operation on that big, wide physician and sturgeon.
It's surgeon, McGee.
Sure, a sturgeon, that's a fish.
Exactly. And I'm the guy that's going to remove a fin. Let's go.
Back to Wistful Vista in a minute.
Sparkle, sparkle, your hair too. Sparkles after Dial shampoo. Dial shampoo gets your hair clean. Dial shampoo gives your hair sheen. Diamond sparkle, that's for you when you use Dial shampoo.
Isn't that an exciting promise? Well, it's true. Dial shampoo does give your hair that diamond sparkle look, a brighter, more appealing look you love. With Dial shampoo, you get loads of lanolated lather instantly. It cleanses every strand of your hair gently and thoroughly, leaves it ever so soft and ever so easy to manage. Get Dial shampoo in the unbreakable squeeze bottle. Until you do, you just can't imagine what a difference one shampooing can make.
Diamond sparkle, that's for you when you use Dial shampoo. Dial shampoo.
This ain't the silliest routine. Having to sit in the guy that he owes you $5 waiting room like a plain, ordinary patient and wait. What I ought to do by rights, I ought to just bust right in there and...
Mrs. Ogilvie, have you got Mrs. Conniff's charge there? Oh, here it is.
Hey, Doc, now can I see you for... Pops in and out of that door like a cuckoo in a clock. It wasn't near so hard to see Saturday when he wanted to borrow $5 right quick. Oh, no, very friendly. Come down to collect it back, and all at once he's too busy to spare a minute. Big man.
Three times a day, and you better see me again on Wednesday. Miss Ogilvie, set up an appointment for Mrs. Conover.
Hey, Doc, can I see you a second now? I just
want... Frank, I believe you're next. Thanks, Doctor. I seem to have thrown something out of joint.
Look, Doc, all I wanted to see you about was...
I told you three times you'll have to wait your turn like everyone else. Now, can't you see how busy I am?
Yeah, but, Doc, I'm not sick.
Then what are you cluttering up my office for? Go home.
Why, that big... Why, Bob? Miss Ogilvie! Miss Ogilvie! Get him out here before I go in there!
Remember, when you were a little squirt, Frank, when anyone asked you what you wanted to be, you always said, a lawyer.
Well, Doctor, for better or worse, that looks like what I'm going to be.
Yeah, well, you just take care of that back of yours. Oh, excuse me. Yes, Miss Ogilvie. Who? Is he still out there? By George, he's making such a pest of himself.
I heard what you said, Doc Gamble.
Oh, for the love of...
Making a pest of myself, have I?
Yes.
Well, I'll cease to permanent if you'll just give me the $5 you borrowed from me Saturday, you big fraud.
I borrowed from you? Oh, McGee, you're mistaken. I never borrowed any money from you Saturday.
What?
If you'll excuse me, Doctor, I'll be going now.
No. Frank, this should be interesting to you. This is Mr. McGee. And he claims I borrowed $5 from him. Meet Frank Walker. He's in his last year at law school.
Well, how are you,
Mr. Walker?
McGee?
I'm glad to know you. How's your father?
Fine.
What you mean, I claim? You know as sure as you're sitting overflowing that overstuffed chair that I loaned you that fiver Saturday.
Ah, but did you? If I remember correctly, I said something like this. Say, Miss Ogilvy's out. The cash box is locked, and I need $5. McGee, would you give me $5? And you said, why, yes, Doc, here you are. And you gave me $5. And I said, thank you. And you answered, any time at all, Doc. Now, Frank...
Yes, Doctor?
I said, give me. And McGee said, here you are. You're a law student. Does that constitute a loan by McGee and an obligation to repay by me? Or is that a gift?
What you trying to pull around here, you big welcher? You borrowed that V-note, and you know it, and I want it back here and now.
I don't owe you a thing, do I, Frank?
Why, I don't know, Doctor. It's a very interesting situation.
Yeah. Interesting, my left funny bone. Look, when this big chiseler says, give me $5, it's the same as when I go into a cigar store and say, give me one of your best 3-for-a-quarter cigars. I don't expect he's going to give it to me free.
My case would hold up in court, wouldn't it, Frank?
Gee, I haven't my degree yet, Doctor. I don't know, but... Boy, this sure would make a wonderful case for our mock trial court. Oh, this is a dandy.
I want my $5 back, and no mock $5.2 either.
And then, wait a sec. How would it work, Frank?
Well, I'd take one side of the case, and one of the other studs, maybe Arnie Shane, he's awful sharp, he'd take the other.
Yeah?
And one of the professors, Bragdon, maybe, he'd be the judge.
Yeah.
And a dozen of the students would be in the jury box. Well, we could set it up for tomorrow night.
I won't be a party to this amateur night in the courtroom. Just give me my $5.
Why won't you? You think you're right, don't you?
Certainly I'm right, you big deadbeat. And by George,
I'm... why are you afraid to take it to court? Especially a law school court. I dare you to. If you've got any sporting blood, you'll take it to...
Now, wait, Cy. Don't stampede me.
You'd get a square shake, according to however the law is on a thing like this, Mr. McGee. Gee, we'd really have a ball.
Oh, don't waste your breath, Frank. This tinhorn crybaby will probably go sniveling to my mama that I tried to jip him out of $5 when legally it was a gift.
Legally, you don't know any more about law than you do about medicine, you big undertaker's apprentice.
Oh.
And you got a deal, too.
Good.
We'll see if there's any justice. By George, I'll win this case hands down. Doctor, I'll see you in court.
Fibber and Molly will be right back. Ever wondered why your child sometimes eats everything you give him and sometimes won't touch a thing? Well, small children like variety in their meals as much as you do. Yet, it's sometimes easy for parents to fall in the beef, peas, cereal, and applesauce rut. That's why you shouldn't miss the March issue of Woman's Home Companion. Dr. Benjamin Spock, famous pediatrician, and nutritionist Miriam Loenberg have written Dr. Spock's Baby and Child Care Cookbook. From this, the companion brings you 10 helpful pages of recipes and menus. Follow the 7 basic rules of child menu planning that Dr. Spock suggests, and there'll be no more plates thrown on the floor or food pushed away. And in the same issue, there's an exciting 5-page spread devoted to the new color look in fashions for spring. Don't miss the paint box colors in leather, the light and bright color teams and accessories. Get your copy of Woman's Home Companion today. You just can't afford to miss it.
So tomorrow night at the law school in the big lecture hall, we're going to have the mock trial, just like a regular courtroom.
That ought to be fun.
It'll be fun when I prove that the eminent Dr. George Gamble is a swindler and a con man and get my $5 back.
You hope.
Betcha. Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber, McGee, and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed with Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble and Robert Easton as Les. Frank was played by Billy Idelson. This is John Wald, who hereby serves you with a summons to appear tomorrow night at the same station, same time, to make a legal inquiry into the case of McGee, plaintiff, versus Gamble, defendant, over whether $5 was borrowed or given, so help you.
Laugh with Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, the great Gildersleeve, that is, tonight on the NBC Radio Network.